Blog Talk Radio.
How to reach the masses, men of every bird, form and answer. Jesus gave the key.
Yes, Jesus gave the key. Lord, let's lift him up. With all of us sheltered in, it's time for prayer. Heavenly Father, in this moment, we ask that your grace, joy, and happiness be extended to us. We ask that you open the windows of heaven and protect and heal all those within the sound of our voice, all of those who are our neighbors, our friends. Lord, protect us. Lord, we know that this may not be the judgment day, but Lord, we know that we've been continuously judged on a daily basis. May we carry out and demonstrate Jesus' love for our life. In this moment, let our hearts fill with joy. We are protected by you. Let every heart say amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The very next voice you hear will be that of Pastor Patricia Benjamin.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Good morning. It is a lovely day. It is the day that the Lord he hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. How about you? Yes, there's a lot of things going on in this universe, but we are ever grateful to God for his many blessings. We're grateful for the love that God has bestowed upon us. We're grateful for even the mercy of God being new every morning. Some of us have not been consumed. There's a lot of friction. There's a lot of things going on, but things we don't quite understand, but it's all good. Our Heavenly Father watches over us. I used to sing a song, I trust in God, for I know that he cares for me on mountain plea or on the rolling sea. Though billows roll, he keeps my soul. My Heavenly Father watches over me. So therefore, I trust in God. I know that he cares for me. And God cares for you. And yes, we may have lost some loved ones in the process, but you know, it is, the scripture does tell us that it is appointed once unto man to die. And so we didn't come here to live to be 120. We didn't come here to live forever. Some of us will never see death. Some of us will never die according to the scriptures. Those of us that are alive and remain when Jesus comes, we will be caught up with the Lord to meet the saints in the air. So some of us are going to go out by way of the grave. And like I just stated, some of us will be caught up to meet him in the air. I want to be caught up in the rapture. But if you have to go through this to be caught up, then Lord, take me home. Let me go out by way of the grave. Just long as I see Jesus. Just as long as I get there. The old saints used to sing, you can't crown him until I get there. Well, he's already been crowned. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. This is an interesting Lent that we're in. But, you know, we may not be able to visit and do as we were doing some months back, but Jesus has never changed. Jesus will never fail. Know that the scripture tell us in the New Testament that heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus never fails. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, our hearts are heavy. Yes, our hearts are aching over what's going on in the land today. Oh, but God is still on the throne. God still has the whole world in his hand. Can he stop it? Yes, he can. Could he have stopped it before it came to this? Yes, he could have. Did God allow this to happen? Yes, he has. Is God still a loving father? Yes, he is. Is God our help? Yes, he is. Because you see, beloveds, if God was not our help at such a time as this, we would all be consumed. Wouldn't be no radio, no television. You couldn't get world news. You couldn't hear about what's going on all day long. If God was not involved, we would have already been dead Who would have buried us? The buzzard would have had a feast and a field day. He would have enjoyed himself. But God has his hand in the midst of this. And if I can't get to the building that's designated that we come together and worship as one, that's what the church is about. Coming together, worshiping the building, I will say. That's what the building has been designated for us to come together and worship Christ the Lord as one people. But I am the church. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He's not coming back for a building. My pastor preached that when I was a child. I'm a grown adult now. Well in years. God is not coming for a building. He's coming for people without spot or wrinkle. That's who he's coming back here to get. So if you can't get inside of the brick building or the wooden building, if you can't make it out to the place that has a sign on the door that says church, it's all good. It's all good. That's just a place where we come together to lift up holy hands in the sanctuary and bless his name. Well, I can lift up my hands wherever I am and bless his holy name. I don't need the building. Yes, I got saved in the building. But I can go on without being in the building. Yes, I'm a pastor, and yes, I may have a congregation that comes to the building to hear the preached word. But it's what you do after you leave the building that keep you connected to the vine. Because you know how many Sundays I went to church? And when church got out, I did my thing. So going to the building don't keep me saved. Going to the building don't connect me to the vine. It's what I have on the inside of me that connects me to the vine. I have the blood of Jesus. That's what connects me to the vine. Do you think the Lord is going to come back here and say, what church did you belong to? What church did you come from? No, no, no. He's looking for that person without spot or wrinkle. It's not about how pretty the edifice is. That's beautiful to walk into a church and everything is just so beautiful. We should reflect God in that manner. But don't let the building look prettier than you. In other words, I don't care about your designer boots or your designer suit that you may have on, but I'd be concerned with what your designer heart look like. God designed your heart. The greatest designer in the world. Not Michael Kors, Jesus. Not Louis Vuitton, not them. Not Elizabeth Arden. Not Estee Lauder. Hey, Jesus gave us a beautiful heart. But it became corrupt because of sin. But once we walked away from sin, we denounced sin and we went back home to the Father, Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let me put that in there. Our hearts became new again. Our hearts became pure again. And now we have a designer's heart through the blood of Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. No, 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 no. It's not the building. The blood. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. I'm a child of God. If the coronavirus takes me out, he won't see the virus. He'll see the blood. And he'll take me home to be with him. Doesn't matter how I get there, just long as I get there. The saints, my mother has gone on before me. I'm left here to endure this. But we're coming out a winner at the finishing line, whether you escape it or you get it. I pray that I don't get it. I pray that no one else gets this virus. But I also pray that we wake up, O thou that sleepeth, and know that nothing is guaranteed. 6 months ago, we went about our business. We went about our way, doing our own thing. Now, today, the best way to go is to stay in your tent. Stay in your own house. It's not even safe in the house of God. Stay in your own house. Bless God in your house. Some of you haven't prayed in your house in so long. Maybe this is a good thing that God allowed to come. Now you'll get up and you'll thank God for being able to be free to come and go as you please. Maybe this will cause you to appreciate getting up in the morning, going to your job. You wake up in the morning and say, oh, if I just didn't have to go to work, everything would be all right. Well, now you can't go to work and you want to go to work. In everything, we must learn how to give thanks. The reason why we have to go to work is because of sin. God never intended for us to work, but because of sin, we have to work by the sweat of the brow. That's what the scripture says. That man would work by the sweat of his brow. Women weren't exempt. Even if we didn't go out to a physical job, we worked in the house. I'm still working in the house, cooking and cleaning and washing it. Don't do much ironing, but cooking and cleaning and washing, that's still work. The women were respected for that work and expected to do that work. But now we got corporate women. They're out of the house and they're making a living on their own. Some of them had to go out to work. If my mom didn't go out to work, we would have made it, but it would have been rough than what it was. My dad was sick. He was an epileptic. There was no welfare. There were no handouts. My mom didn't qualify, and it was a blessing because we watched God take care of us. Oh, bless his name. And he took care of my mother. God bless you, Radio Land, whether you're hearing this live or you're in the archives. We bless God for his goodness on today. I cannot hear Dr. Scott at all. I only heard the announcer say unmuted. So I hope I'm not speaking into the air and it's not being recorded, because it's what I've already said was good enough to encourage you as a child of God. Or maybe you're a beginner and don't understand how could God be so cruel. But because God loved you, you're able to find this sermon. God loves you. God is not cruel. Let me tell you, if God had sent this, the scientists could not fix this. But God has allowed some people to already be released from the hospital from this. Some people are already carrying the virus to the point that now they're immune to it. They can't get it. Maybe it'll help somebody else, the antibodies. We just bless the Lord today for his benefits, for he loadeth us daily with benefits. I just want to read something to you today as I was looking through my Bible in the book of Luke. Hello. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. In the hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is expected, the Father, and who the Father is expected, the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are they. Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Behold, the 25th verse says, I didn't tell you what chapter I'm reading from, Luke 10, and I started at verse 21 of the 10th chapter of St. Luke. Now I'm down to the 25th verse. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. You always got someone trying to challenge the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. They're always trying to come up against the word of God to see if they can find fault with it. But someone said many years ago, I find no fault in him. Though he was rejected, I find no fault in him. So ask your foolish questions if you want to. One of the foolish questions could be, why, God, did you allow this to happen? Why, God, is this going like this? Why? But I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. So therefore, I know too much about him to question him. Why? But here we go with this certain lawyer who think they know it all, but it's okay. God gave them a mind to be smart that way. But they're no match for the master. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I'm reading from the Holy Scriptures. I'm not sure if this is a King James. I have several Bibles, and sometimes the words are a little different from the King James. I just grab the Bible and begin to bless God. So what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? See, Jesus came right back at him. He called himself getting smart with Jesus. Jesus came right back at him. What is written in the law? What did you read? What have you heard? What have they told you? What is written? What is written in the law? Jesus asked him a question. See, he asked Jesus a question. Now, Jesus asked him a question. Well, I came up saying that you can't answer a question with a question. But look at this. What is in the law? What is your reading of it? Jesus bad, isn't it? You don't question him. Because he came right back at this smart mouth lawyer, trying to test Jesus, trying to trip Jesus up, trying to catch him off guard, trying to make a liar out of him, trying to get him to go against what he stands for. That's what he was doing. I guess that's why you see them lawyers doing that stuff on TV or in a courthouse. He tries to trip up the next person, try to get some kind of mess going. Most of them are not after the truth. They're just trying to stir up trouble. What is your reading of it? What do you read? My God, today. Jesus knows it all. But he asked him, come on here, lawyer, what do you read? Not about what I'm going to say to you. What is it that you're reading? What have you found out? I love it. So he answered and said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and all your neighbors, and your neighbor as yourself. See what I'm talking about? This Joe Knucklehead knew what the scripture said, but he wanted to try to put Jesus on the spot. Shame on him. Oh, my God. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. Oh, my God. So now Jesus is not doing a question for a question. Now Jesus is doing an answer for an answer. The answer was what he said to him. Do right, do this, do that, do this. Jesus said, well, okay then. Now do that. What you told me, let me go back and run this by you again. So he answered and said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And so now Jesus speaks again, and he said to him, you have answered rightly. You're telling the truth. That's what the word of God speaks of. That's what you have been reading. That's what you have read. You already know what you need to do to get eternal life. This is the roadmap to eternal life. This is your GPS to eternal life. Do it. Do it. And receive eternal life. So Jesus said, you answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Wow. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. This is what the priest did. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. 3 says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Well, this is what I would say that's going on in this coronavirus in this universe right now. These people on the front line, these nurses and these doctors, these first responders, some people will walk by you and leave you to die. But these first responders, Governor Cuomo, is out there being a good Samaritan because he's fighting for his neighbor. Oh, bless his name. And the other two governors from New Jersey and from Connecticut, they were first. And we had Delaware to join in. It took some of the other governors a while before they were concerned with their neighbor. Leave the beach open. Let the people have a party. There's no school. This is vacation. This is the time for them to relax and enjoy themselves. Let the people destroy themselves and others. But the good Samaritan said, no, don't do that. I care enough to shut it down. It's not about money. It's not about the economy. If I could go on there, I would say that the cattle upon a thousand hill belong to the Lord. He got money. He put money in the fish mouth. He got plenty of fish. Children of God, don't charge God foolishly. Don't go against the laws of the land. If it says stay in the house, shut the church door for a moment, do so. Now you're looking out for your neighbor. Like Jesus said, I applaud all of them that's going forward, the front runners. Thank you. You may not ever hear this message. I'm not sure if I'll hear it. But somebody will tell you that Pastor Patricia Benjamin said thank you. That you're doing what Jesus required of you to do, not walk past, but have compassion. These people on the front line having compassion on their neighbor. No, you may not live next door to them. You just barely know their name, but it's your neighbor. I got excited there. Front line, Dr. Scott, front line. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. A certain doctor got up this morning and went into the hospital knowing what he'd be faced with, could die himself, or she could die herself as a doctor. The nurse went in. We got male and female nurses today. So I'll just say the nurse, whether it's male or female, they went in and put on their gear, having compassion on their neighbor. They could stay home and get an unemployment check. But they, too, I would call them the good Samaritan. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for the word. Had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Somebody said, why did he waste the wine? Pour it on him. He should have poured it in him. I know that's how you all think, but that's okay. He poured it on the wound. It's something that had to be something in that wine along with that oil that would help to patch him up, fix up the wound, I guess so that he wouldn't get an infection. I don't know why he poured the oil and the wine, but he did. That's what the scripture said. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Are you a good Samaritan? Are you praying for those that's on the front line? No, you can't go out there and do anything to help them, but you can stay in your house to help them get a grip. But you can pray from your house, which is your tent. You can pray from here and ask God to make a way for them to find something soon. Let more tests come through. Let the White House get up and do what's right. The federal government, what good are they if we need them and they can't respond to the needs of the people? Don't tell me it's going to be a rough 2 weeks. Lighten it if you can, but if you can't, we know you're not God. And those that advise you, they're not God either. But I'm reminding you today that the good Samaritan will not pass you by. Those nurses at the hospital, they're not passing the people by. Some of them have died. The doctors have died, but yet there's still people going in to help people that need help. The good Samaritan stopped by to fix the man's wounds. He didn't leave the man for dead, like I heard some of them say on TV. You got to figure out who will need the ventilator and who won't need the ventilator, and someone will need it and say, well, just go on and let them die anyway. But the Good Samaritan, the Bible declares that the man was stripped of his clothes and he was beaten and he was left for dead, but the Good Samaritan came through. Good Samaritans are home today praying, God have mercy. God, let your will be done. Care if not. I know some of you saints should be saying, care if not that we perish. And all we need Jesus to do is just say, peace, be still. But if it's being done so that he gets your attention to the point that you recognize that without God you are nothing and nothing's going to stay the same forever, the only thing that will stay the same is Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Everything changes. We thought it was a change when 9/11 hit New York. It changed the whole United States. And guess what? So is this virus going to change. Things are not going to go back as normal. Oh, you'll be able to go to the store maybe without a mask and even a pair of gloves. But things are not going to be as they were. As I sat in church as a child, a little girl, the saints used to sing, Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Who shall be able to stand? Are we going to be good Samaritans from our homes? When you look at the numbers growing on the TV and say, Lord, have mercy. I love what the Catholic do. I'm not Catholic. I'm Protestant. I'm a Kojic girl. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I believe that you must be born again. I believe that when you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, then there is a change that come with that. That you can't walk like you used to walk, and you can't talk like you used to talk. You know, my boy Isaiah said, I am a man. God called him with unclean lips. He said, I am a man with unclean. My mouth is filthy. I curse and I say things and I do things, whatever. But he died amongst God, took the coals and cleaned his mouth. God makes a difference. And you cannot accept my Jesus and just live like hell. There's got to be a change. It says, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You can't do what you used to do. I can't be sitting up around folks smoking and drinking. I didn't drink. I drank Pepsi. But I was around the people that cursed like a sailor. I cussed like one, too. And sometimes the devil still try to make me cuss like a sailor, but I have to remind myself that I don't live on that street anymore. I'm a born-again, blood-washed Christian, and he has taken the coal and he has fixed my mouth. And if I'm not careful, the devil will make me curse, and I have to rebuke him. I have to be mindful that I don't want to go back into my old ways. I'd be cursing every minute, every time, because I like to cuss you out. Not mean, just cussing. My daddy used to, you know, curse all the time. He wasn't cussing. He just used his little special words that he had. And some of us think that those words are okay to use, you know, because they're really not that harmful. But why practice that? Why not practice? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you're following Christ, then you will follow what Christ did. This good Samaritan must have knew Jesus. Somehow the priest didn't give a hoot. Well, I'm just reading the book. And I'm not hard on the priest, but I do like what the Catholics say. They say, God have mercy, if I can remember correctly. God have mercy. And then it would say, the people would respond and say, Lord, have mercy. Well, we need to be asking God to have mercy and then seal it with, Lord, have mercy. My bishop, Bishop Harold J. Benjamin, he rests, he sleeps in his grave, but Bishop Benjamin would be preaching and he would pause and say, Lord, have mercy. And every time he said it, I jumped to my feet because it was something about the way he said, Lord, have mercy, that you could literally see the hand of God. I could, having mercy upon the people. If you don't know how to pray, it's no big deal, because we don't pray like Jesus taught them to pray anyway. We put all this stuff in a prayer, and all this stuff. Jesus simply taught the disciples to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is in debt to us. This is definitely not my King James, because it's reading completely different from my King James, but however, you got the picture. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But going back to the good, because this is right next door to it. I'm at 10, and Luke 11 gives you that Our Father in heaven. I looked over here, and there it was sitting right there. I told Dr. Scott I wouldn't be long. My time is out. So he banded up the man's wounds and poured wine and oil on him, and he set him on his animal, his own animal, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out two, I don't know the Hebrew word, and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, so he had to be a little piece of money of what kind, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. No, I cannot go to the hospital. I got a little background. Know how to help roll you over. Know how to bathe you. Know how to do all of those things. That's just naturally done. I know how to say, I know how to do this, and I know how to check this, and I know how to do that. But I can't go there. I'm not a registered nurse or a doctor or an NP or whatever. But I can, you know what? If I was near, I could take the name of Jesus with me and be a good Samaritan and pray. No, I can't go inside the facility, but my mom always said there is no distance in prayer. I was sick. I was here in Delaware, and my mother was in New York, and I called my mama. I said, Mama, I'm sick. Mama, she said, hold it. Patty, there's no distance in prayer. And yes, you're in Delaware, and Mama's in New York, she said, but God is there with you. And I want to say to you today, there is no distance in prayer. You may not be able to go just a mile away to the hospital, because I'm just about a mile away from the hospital, maybe a mile and a quarter, Dr. Scott, but I'm not far from the hospital. I can walk, but I can't go in, but the prayers can go in to the hospital. The prayer that I sit here at my table and pray will reach the world. Why? Because Jesus is omnipresent. He's everywhere. I remember the song that says he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister. He's got the whole world in his talk with Jesus. Yes, tell him all about the troubles. Ask him to have mercy. Ask him to help us. Ask him to send mercy. The Good Samaritan. Thank you, God, for all of those that is working to help all of your people. I had someone on the phone with me this morning that said, God, cover your people. And I had to correct her. I said, hold up here. Let me get you straight. Jesus said, all souls are mine. But he said, the soul that sinneth will surely die. But all souls are mine. So I can't be selfish and just ask God to protect the church folks or my cousin and my cousin. I have to say, God, bless the people, all the people. Because the virus don't know whether you're a child of God or whether you're living like the devil. That is very selfish for me to pray like that. You know why? Because the Lord lets you know that he allowed the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust. Or let's turn it around. He allowed the rain to come on the unjust and the just. So therefore, people that I don't care for particularly, I have to include them and say, Lord, protect the people. Because the people belong to God. He made us. Dr. Scott, I don't know if you can find John P. Key, but I'd like to close out with him. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father. They have gone on. But I pray for everyone today in the land of the living that God will continue to have mercy on the people that's being attacked by the virus and have mercy on those of us who have not been diagnosed or had any symptoms of this virus. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and the people of God, say amen. Man, God bless you. Our new number is 347-945-6785. Pass it on. 347-945-6785. Amen. Ah, hallelujah.
That's a fine standing in the airport. A young lady, tears rolling down her face. She said to me, we need to rush to the hospital. There's a choir member whose baby is lying at the point of death. We rush to Memorial Hospital. That's the mother and a father. The baby had a rare disease. She had second and third degree burns on the inside and the outside of her body. Because of the burns, the baby's mouth began to seal. The doctor said the results are confusing, and all we can do is wait. I want you to know, while they were waiting, I began to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we need you. Told the mother, call the family in. He was preparing them for the worst. I told the mother to call the family in, so we could praise God in advance for what he was getting ready to do. Happening now, God can take